Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Unnecessary Noise. I'm your host, TJ Tulloch, and it has been a hot minute since being on the air with you guys last. I think, what was it, February? Is it February or March of last year? It was the last time we did one of these things, but don't worry. We're back. I'm back. And this is the season premiere of an Unnecessary Noise. But a lot of things have changed. For one, we am no longer on Anchor FM because there is no more Anchor.fm. I guess it got absorbed into the Spotify family, which, cool, awesome. You know, Spotify, I think they purchased them and like another one. Was it Gimlet? Yeah, they purchased Gimlet for like $300 million. Must be nice. Must be nice to be able to throw around $300 million. But it was so weird because, again, hadn't checked this in a while. Been in the off season, taking my vacation, recharging the batteries, trying to come up with some new material. And I come back to the app on my phone and it's no more. So I look to make sure that, you know, it's still on Apple Podcasts and all the old episodes are still up because I'm curious to see what's on there. And then I check my app and there's a new Spotify podcaster. What is it? I don't even know what it is. I don't even want to look it up right now. But yeah, they've just basically absorbed us without letting me know. You know, you'd think I'd get like a little post-it in the mail or something in my email saying, hey, by the way, we're changing. Anchor's not a thing. The site you're hosting on, do you still want to be on this? Because we'll take it off. This isn't the first time this has happened to me, too. Like, it happens all the time, I guess. Maybe not all the time, but, I mean, companies absorb smaller companies to make a buck. I think that's how it happened when Facebook did that to Instagram. But the one that makes me laugh is, like, Instagram's obviously still around, and same with WhatsApp. I'm not sure, was WhatsApp created by Facebook? I don't think Instagram was created by Facebook. I think Instagram ended up getting bought by Facebook. But, yeah, Twitter ended up buying, Twitter bought Posterous, and I don't know why. Like, they bought this website, Posterous, and the cool thing about Posterous or Posterous was basically it was like your WordPress or your Tumblr or something, but Twitter decides to buy it, and then they just dismantle it. And the reason I was disappointed by this was because that was hosting unlimited bandwidth, and that was one of the first sites I was using because you could just post anything on there to basically post my podcasts and host one of my first iterations of a podcast, the TCast. Again, all of this is a little inside baseball, but it's crazy to know that at any given moment, a bigger company can swallow your material, and then next thing you know, you're playing on a new platform. But you know, it's exciting to be in the Spotify family, I guess. Sure, why not? I guess me and Rogan and what was it, the Caller Danny girls, we're all on the same team now. We're all on the same, eating the same piece of the pie. That didn't make sense. Awkward. That's pretty much what this podcast is. Still same old. Whatever. Moving on. We're still following the format. Going to find some weird stories for you guys just to check in. The one that kind of caught my eye, the other big thing, one of the biggest changes in the past year, aside from Spotify completely uprooting my livelihood. No. Baseball's made a bunch of changes in the game of baseball. Yes, MLB has made a bunch of changes in the game of baseball. One of them, bigger bases. Players can't use the shift anymore. Is it the I think it's the infield. They can't go into the outfield. You know, and they have a pitch clock now. It's like 30, isn't it 30 seconds to throw a pitch? 8 seconds to throw a pitch after a batter is set. Yeah, it's basically everything to speed up the game of ball. Because, you know, there are 162 games, and if you're a fan, the average average length of a game has increased, I think, now to like 3 hours. It's tipped over 3 hours. So if, and that's the average. So some games are probably going 3.5, 4 hours, you know. That's crazy. You're a fan, you don't have time for that every day, because that's what baseball is in the summertime, every day of the week, right? So we want to shorten, MLB wants to shorten it up, increase their fan base. You know, there is a lot of stalling, a lot of getting set, and, you know, it was time to take it out. I think this is good for the sport. But yeah, one thing that has been affected is beer sales, because normally in baseball, you don't sell drinks until after the seventh inning. So some MLB teams have decided to extend beer sales to the eighth inning because they're losing revenue because of these pitch clocks. Everything's going shorter. They want to make more money. They want to get more revenue. So this is the headline from the Associated Press. MLB teams extend their beer sales after pitch clocks shorten games. And this is, again, out of Phoenix. There are at least four teams that are doing this because they want to extend it now into the eighth inning. And I'm not sure, like, I know, I would say, I'm surprised, I guess I understand why it's not ninth. You don't want people going home. You want people people to have a little bit of a last call, I guess maybe a little bit of a come down from the buzz while they're leaving the field. I don't know. Maybe there's less likely of a fight. I can see the point. It's like, no. So there are at least four teams, the Arizona Diamondbacks, Texas Rangers, the Minnesota Twins, and can you guess the last one? That's right, the Milwaukee Brewers. And that have extended alcohol sales through the eighth inning this season. Others, like Miami Marlins, the Mets, will still have a seventh inning cutoffs, but they haven't ruled out the changes. So, yeah, this is not the first time something like this has happened. You know, they want to make sure... baseball wants to make sure it's still getting its revenue in, which I think it will. The other thing they have to look at is, if more people want to come to these games, if attendance is up, you're going to have more beer sales, right? But I just, it's one of those things you never think about. Why would I think about beer? I mean, it obviously goes hand in hand, and there's a symbiotic ecosystem there. But if you can get attendance up at these ball games, then you're going to get more beer. And you're going to get attendance up by shortening the clock, because now, you know, if you're not leaving the ballpark at 10, maybe you're leaving at 9:30, okay, we might be able to go see something on a Wednesday night. I don't know. You know, it seems a lot more palatable. Is it palatable? Palpable? A lot easier to swallow. So there's my first weird one. And it's not even a weird one. It's just, interesting. That's a good point. Never thought of it. So let's see. What else we got? Moving on. What other things? This is weird. In New York. This is, again, also from the Associated Press. I took a bunch of stuff from AP News. This first one, just to get me back into the swing of things. So, teachers pest. NYC hires former educator to slaughter rats. So every New York City mayor has waged war, and this again coming from the Associated Press, and mostly lost against the rats. So Mayor Adams introduced a former elementary school teacher and an anti-rat activist as his new rat czar on Wednesday. So, officially Kathleen Corradi, the mayor's new hire, will be known as the director of rodent migration. That's a title you want to have. Director of rodent migration. I guess they have a... Do they have a picture there? Yeah, I guess... Okay. Not what I picture. See, when I think of a rat czar, I think of, you know, someone maybe rocking flannel, like... what's his name from Walking Dead? Guy, same guy that played the comedian. That dude. I basically want that dude with like a crown on their head and a baseball cap backwards. That's my rat czar. Just stained, and then, you know, maybe having some like dried blood stains from when they were like smashing rats with bats. I don't know. Is the solution to the rat problem more cats? You tell me. Yeah, I know there's like, what is it? Didn't we watch Tiger King? Didn't they say there's just an abundance of like tigers walking around? You don't think they'd eat rats? Do tigers? Like, they're basically big kitties. No? I don't know. Worth a shot. Have an influx of like Joe Exotic's tigers running around New York City. I think that's a good idea. Why not? They got tigers in Detroit. Okay, that's a baseball team. Still. I didn't even know. So I didn't know this, but in Alberta, like, New York should take some cues from Alberta. Because Alberta has been waging war on rats for a long time. I think it started in the 20s. Let me see. History of rat control. Okay, so the province has had no breeding populations of rats for over 70 years, thanks to its storied rat control program. So, yeah. Norway rats are not native to North America. They were introduced to the East Coast around 1775. They gradually spread westward over most of the continent as North America became settled, farms were built closer together, and cultivated land began to dominate the landscape. Okay, there you go. This is the reason I'm getting to this is because, you know, if they want to fight rats, You gotta go to Alberta, because Alberta has been kicking butt. Like I said, the province has had no breeding populations of rats for over 70 years. They're winning the war. So Norway rats were first discovered on a farm in Alberta near Elsask on the eastern border during the summer of 1950. The discovery was made by field crews from the Alberta Department of Health. And this is from Alberta.ca. I'm taking this now from Alberta.ca. Although they were aware of the economic destruction caused by rats, provincial authorities were initially concerned rats might spread plague throughout Alberta. Consequently, the Alberta government decided to halt, or at least slow, the spread of rats into Alberta in 1950. Responsibility for rat control was transferred from the Alberta Department of Health to the Department of Agriculture. There you go. So, that says it was discovered in 1950, but then it goes, the Agricultural Pests Act of Alberta in 1942, authorized by the Minister of Agriculture to designate any pest or any animal that was likely to destroy crops or livestock. And, it basically says that it's stipulated that rats are basically not allowed to come into, like, if, hang on, I lost my place. The act further stipulated that every person in municipality had to destroy and prevent the establishment of provincially designated pests. There's a lot of P's. The establishment of provincially designated pests. Where the pest control was not considered adequate, the provincial government could carry out the necessary measures and charge the costs to the landowner or municipality. Anyways, my point being, since the 1950s, Alberta has maintained a rat control zone along the eastern border of Saskatchewan.
So they built a wall. A wall to keep out the rats. We're not going to have any rats in Alberta. It's a big wall. We're made of cheese. The rats stop there. They eat the cheese. They don't come in. It's a wall.
Now, see, that's the thing. Anytime you see a border, you want to hear... And this is just a... It's a staple now. Someone's immediately going to go and do a bad Donald Trump impersonation.
It's a wall.
Anyways, this 600 kilometer long and 29 kilometer wide swath of land runs from the Cold Lake to in North Montana border in the what runs from Cold Lake in the north to the Montana border in the south, and it's supported by government through funding and supplies. Seven municipalities in the zone bear the most responsibility for rat control. There we go. So, they have like an old rat control pamphlet. Yeah. Yeah, so, basically, they have a graph showing the confirmed rat infestations, and it was zero in 2016. Like, it started off 600 rat infestations, 300, 150. Now, they've done this along the Saskatchewan border. What happens when, like, the rats from BC, because I know we have them, come in? It's not a good look. Anyways, oh my gosh. You should see this, like, rat propaganda. It's from Alberta. It's terrifying. It's like this demonic rat that's possessed with, like, the province in its eyes. Anyways. Rats. That was my little ramble today. It was my ramble on rats. We got one more story for you. I got one more, and then I'm going to call it a day. Just because, like I said, I'm getting back into the swing of things. Want to keep it moving. But, yeah. If you also want a good little history on the rat story, I actually found that one out because of Joe Pera, which also, great show. Joe Pera talks to you. Do yourself a favor. Go download it. It's one of the best shows you'll watch. Basically like a Mr. Rogers for adults, but hilarious. The guy talks like an 80-year-old man, but he looks like he's like mid-30s at best. Awesome. Well done, Joe Pera. Shout out, JP. Last one. 78-year-old woman with two past bank robbery convictions now faces new charges after authorities allege she handed a teller a note saying, "I didn't mean to scare you," during a recent Missouri heist. What's her name? Bonnie Gooch. G-O-O-C-H. Is jailed on $25,000 bond after she was charged with one count of stealing and or attempting to steal from a financial institution in a holdup Wednesday on Pleasant Hill. In Pleasant Hill, the Kansas City Star reports. No attorney has listed for her online court record. No attorney is listed for her in online court records. She was also convicted of robbing a California bank in 1977 and one Kansas City suburb of Lee's Summit in 2020. This is awesome. Granny just loves robbing banks. She strongly smelled of alcohol when the officer stopped her less than 2 miles away, with cash scattered on the car's floorboards, prosecutors added. Ouch. It's just sad. That's what the police chief said, adding that the suspect had no diagnosed ailments.
You'll never catch me, Shetty.
And I don't know. It doesn't say what car it is, but I'm thinking like, you know, Model T, like Archie's jalopy. Couple, you know, just... That's black smoke from the exhaust. Quick, she's getting away. There's a couple bike cops chasing after her. The car's going slow, slow. Ma'am, can you pull over?
Hey, you darn police.
That's awesome. Robbing banks still, he's like, you never hear about that, though. Like, 70, you waited till you're 78 to pull off the big score. Good for you. I mean, it is sad. You know, you don't know the reasons. Well, obviously, one of them's get money. But you want, you know, you don't know why people are robbing a bank. Same time. Just the image of an elderly 78-year-old woman trying to rob a bank. Now, it just says she said, she handed her a note that said, I didn't mean to scare you. So how did the bank robber go down? There's not a lot on this. I didn't do my research that well. I really basically just took from the Associated Press. But I want to know how she comes in. Like, is she rocking a cane? What does this lady look like? Like, what are the details? How does she go? How does a teller think, like, start fearing... for this life? How intimidating is this 78-year-old woman? I don't know. Anyways, I'll leave you with that because I've got to call it a day. This has been a lot of fun. Once again, thank you so much for listening, everyone. This has been Unnecessary Noise, and we're going to be doing more of these. I'm trying to new episodes every weekend. I'm not going to tell you when on the weekend, because sometimes I might release them Friday. Sometimes I might release them Saturday. Sometimes I might release them Sunday. You don't know. It's going to be new episodes every weekend. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great night.